Yo, what's the deal, cuz?
Hey, what's the deal, cuz? How you doing?
Hey, pretty good. I'm Dre Chili, by the way.
And I'm AZ Shan.
And this is What's the Deal, Cuz?
Yes, the podcast where we discuss topics pertaining to the Black experience.
We hope you guys tune into the podcast regularly and that you enjoy the actual audio experience with us. Thank you. Yo, what's the deal, cuz?
Oh, nothing much. How you doing?
Man, all is good. You know, trying to, you know, stay head above the water and survive. You know how it is. What's new?
Oh, man, there's so much stuff going on in the news right now. I feel like, you know, we need to talk about because it's just crazy out here. This coronavirus stuff and everything else that's happening. So I just want to get your thoughts on all that.
Well, exactly. Well, if you talk about the coronavirus first, man, it's very interesting that I feel as if Governor Doug Ducey out here in Arizona had pretty much opened up the state relatively too soon. I understand the frustration of a lot of people that want to get back to work and, you know, want to be able to do a lot of social activities such as going shopping, going to the movie theaters, et cetera, dinners. But the reality of the situation is until they actually have some type of cure to the virus, I think everybody should just take the rest of the year off and just pretty much go to work and come home, man, and try to stay out of the way. That's just my opinion on it. You know, what's your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, the thing about it is I don't know that there's guaranteed going to be a cure, because if you look at the history of vaccines, like, it normally take, I think the fastest that they ever developed a vaccine I was reading was like 4 years or something like that. So, I mean, there's a possibility that it could take just as long to find some type of cure for this particular virus. Or there's even a possibility that there is no cure. So right now I just see a bunch of scientists pretty much just throwing everything at it, trying to find treatments. And they have a couple of candidates for actual antiviral medicines or some type of vaccine. I think one of them's called like remdesivir or something like that, and that seems like it's, you know, pretty promising results as to a vaccine. But honestly, like, I'm kind of concerned about them just coming up with something too soon, because think about it, you got to go through clinical trials and all that type of stuff. And honestly, like, how do you know like in those trials, or if you've rushed through some things, what the side effects might be for people that's, you know, getting the vaccine? Because there's some people that have adverse reactions to shots and stuff like that, that they develop. So I'm kind of concerned on that.
Without doubt. To me, it's a hit and pitch approach, because you got to figure, I honestly believe that the pharmaceutical companies already have a vaccination that they probably already developed and, you know, is ready for the general public to consume. I mean, the reality of it and the business aspect of it is that a lot of doctors' offices, a lot of urgent cares, a lot of hospitals, everybody is basically, I mean, look at it this way, right? People aren't even paying attention to this. All you got to do is go to like jobbing.com or indeed.com. Basically, anybody with any type of medical billing and coding and experience is hired on the spot. So I do think that if people want to talk about a conspiracy, I think that a lot of insurance companies and a lot of people stand to benefit before the pharmaceutical companies. And it's kind of like one back scratches the other back. Like, hey, let us get our piece of the cake first. And then, you know,
So well, you know it. Like, there's big money in this vaccine. So, you know, whoever actually develops something that ends up being the candidate or one of the candidates, they're going to make billions, you know what I'm saying, probably off of this. But my thing is, like, I think honestly that they probably do have something, but like the risks, you know, they're trying to weigh those risks, because if you think about it, a lot of these medicines and whatnot, if there's like a bunch of side effects, then it's not really worth it to pursue. You know, like, you hear about different like birth controls that now all of a sudden was causing women to have all kind of issues and things like that. Like, not vaccines, but like just other medicines and things that, you know, people have had to take and they have side effects. So I would assume it's the same thing here. So they probably know that. And then it's like you have certain risks and they don't want to be sued. So I think that maybe that's part of it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't necessarily think that a cure is necessarily like always on the topic of discussion. Like, I don't know that that's going to be something that just ends up happening. Like, I definitely think pharmaceutical companies, if they just looking at their profits, they make more money on the treatment than the cure. You know what I'm saying? So
exactly. That's what's been going on for years. But it's interesting because one of the points that you just made reference to, that a lot of people have, they might have to take medicine that are treating side effects. So if I pretty much own, say for instance, a lot of stock in Fred Meyers or a place like that, you know, and we have all of these subsidiary companies underneath us that might make, you know, combination medicines or things of that nature, we win them by default. So the cure will come in due time, just my opinion on it. But overall, I feel as if the state, our state in particular, was opened back up way too soon. We should
at least waited
a couple more months, especially about the stuff that's not necessary, like the restaurants. I understand a lot of restaurant owners and places like that, people want to go out and co-mingle, but by default, with the rest of the worldly events and things of that nature, this might be the perfect time and opportunity for us to just take a step back from it all and go ahead and do some self-reflecting and internalize yourself in the house.
People are more concerned about their money and they're more concerned about the economy. Like, for example, I was reading that a lot of wealthy people, they're not spending money like that because a lot of the hotels and hospitality industry is taking a hit because of the coronavirus and the risk of that, as far as like catching it in, you know, larger settings and whatnot. So my thing is, like, that's already slated to happen. So, like, people felt like if they let this go on for much longer, that it was going to negatively impact the economy. But it's already going to do that because you're going to have all this, you know, starting and stopping, like stopping of business and then starting back up. Or, you know, you're going to have all these people that end up getting sick, have to call out, that costs the businesses money. So it's like, you know, honestly, it would have made more sense to actually have, what would have made sense is using the statistics to determine when you come, when, which states open up, you know, really looking at the statistics. Like, if your state is in a decline in terms of new cases, then you can open up as far as like allowing certain things and then gradually do that. But you also have to make sure that there's no travel really coming in and out of your state while you do that. They could have did that. They could have used statistics to determine, okay, we have a significant drop in cases that's persisted for long enough to where it's more, but they didn't do that. The problem with a state like Arizona is that they never really had any type of measures. Yeah, we had a quote unquote stay at home measure, but did we really stay home? There was no mandate that said that we, you know, really had to do anything. Like, okay, yeah, you know, if they basically made the most loose restrictions possible. Like, okay, they had a stay-at-home order, but, you know, if you were driving around, you could just say, yeah, I'm on my way to work, and nobody would bother you, you know what I'm saying? And then it was right, like,
exactly.
So we never really shut down. So when people say, nope, yeah, we, you know, we opened back up too soon, I would argue that we never really closed, like, this state. Like, that's, we never true, locked that's anything true, down.
When I say, well, we shut down, I'm talking about, like, you know, the night scene, the nightlife, the Fourth Avenues, you know, the Tempe Lakes, you know, the shopping malls, the movie theaters, the bowling alleys, places like that. That's what I'm
referring to. I would argue that they really didn't, because here in Phoenix, I believe that he shut it down for like maybe 2 weeks, if that, those type of things, and it was back up again. It wasn't like people, if you look at the data, people felt like, you know, we were under a stay-at-home order for like 2 months, but really when you look back at how things actually transpired, it probably was only 2 weeks really of, like, you know,
actual things being like shut down.
Being, you know, you
But, you know, look at it. Hey, this is where we at now. You figure, okay, we have the, I think, number two. We're right behind Florida in terms of
new cases. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, like 2,000 new cases between both counties, Maricopa as well as Phoenix. So, you know, where do we go from here?
Everybody keeps trying to make the argument that it's about the protests and stuff. But honestly, like, I was reading that, you know, in Minnesota, they, like, looked at the stats on people that got the coronavirus and said that they caught it from a large gathering, you know, from the time when the protest started there onward. And they said like 1% of the people caught it that way. So I feel as though like there's a risk, obviously, if you had a rally and people are shoulder to shoulder and half the people ain't wearing masks and whatnot, then yeah, like you're probably at high risk of catching it. But a lot of the things I've seen online, people are doing at least the peaceful protesting, they are wearing masks. And, you know, even the non-peaceful protesting, people wearing masks because they don't want to be caught, you know what I'm saying? So like my thing is like I don't think it's all from that. I honestly noticed, especially here in Arizona, that as soon as that quote-unquote stay-at-home order was lifted, like literally I went to the gas station maybe a week later and I saw like only a few people wearing masks, like maybe half. And then like another week or so later, I went back to get some more gas or something. And I was literally one of two other people who was wearing a mask. Like I haven't really gone out hardly at all from my home, but the times I have had to go to the store, I don't see people wearing masks. It's like, as soon as, you know, they lifted everything, people did that for a second, a little hot second, and then they went back to their old habits. And even now, like with the cases rising, I didn't just see all these people wearing masks. Now it's like been mandated that people have to wear masks, and people feel some type of way about it, and I don't get it.
Well, it's human nature. A lot of people, you got to keep in mind, man, a lot of people live in this world with some form of entitlement. So whereas they might feel that if the government is handing down some type of direct order, you know, a lot of people take offense to that. But unbeknownst to them, it's, hey, it's to save you, your loved ones, your children, you know, the elder people that reside within the community. But the way I see it, like I said, hey, I'm a firm believer in keeping your distance right now. I'm more or less taking the wait and see approach. I think that this year is pretty much a wash. I don't think anybody should really be doing any traveling this year.
Right.
Avoid large crowds and just, you know, take the year off to reflect, man. This year, what an interesting year, man, to kick off a new decade. You know, let's talk about that and, you know, some other subjects and topics. What else you got?
Well, did you hear that D.L. Hughley, he got the coronavirus now?
I don't know how true it is, but I had seen
Said he did. Like he did a video. Like he was performing, and I watched the video where he passed the hell out, man. He was all the way like out cold. Was performing.
Yeah, they dragged him off the stage and everything like that. Yeah. Oh yeah, I seen the video.
Yeah,
so
and
he tested positive for the coronavirus.
Yeah, he tested positive because they took him to the hospital right after that. And he said, you know, that he basically did a follow-up interview or something. He must be like okay enough to where he can, you know, talk to people and whatnot. But he basically was like, you know, I was asymptomatic. I didn't have any symptoms of the typical symptoms of the virus. And he said that like basically like he was doing all this touring, and so he was, you know, a little tired or whatnot, but that thing, you know, had him passing out on stage. So it's just interesting, like how, you know, a lot of these little quote unquote symptoms that they claim that, you know, come along with it, not everybody's really getting that, you know. And I even just saw, just a couple of minutes before I started talking to you, I saw, you know, Chadwick Boseman, the dude from Black Panther, now he's in the hospital, and I'm like wondering whether he's got the coronavirus, because folks been saying that they thought he looked a little sick since the beginning of this year. So I don't know.
I'll tell you this, man, it's definitely real, because, you know, earlier this year I was bedridden for about a week, but, you know, my doctor told me it was a real nasty case of bronchitis, and it was borderline pneumonia. So, you know, we all got to be careful out there and continue to wash your hands and, you know, try to stay in good health. DL, you know, unfortunately, you know, talent, but hey, the touring aspect of it, sometimes, man, we just got to sit down. You know?
Well, also, like, you know, I think he has diabetes, you know, and I didn't know that, but recently. And it's just like, if you have something like that, you just can't, like, if you just can't be out here in crowds of people trying to perform and whatnot, like, you know, especially if the people aren't wearing masks and whatnot, like, you know, you're probably gonna catch something, you know. I mean, it's just the nature of the business.
You can't expose yourself. Yeah, you can't put yourself out there at risk. But hey, it goes to show you, like, the economics behind a lot of the stuff that's taking place, where people might feel the need to take the risk to go out there to continue to support their family and their loved ones and earn a living. So, you know, that's a very interesting twist as it relates to the whole coronavirus and people still wanting to be able to feed, you know, their family and make money. So,
yeah, but you know, he got money though. Like, my thing is, I think that
you got money, but you got bills. You still got
that's that is true. Yeah, that's true. You got money, but I you mean, got bills, so. Yeah, but look at the medical bills you probably gonna have as a result of having to, you know, I don't know. So luckily he's got money. He's rich to a certain extent. So he's not like the rest of us that got to go to a 9-to-5 every day, and in order to, you know, make ends meet. So it makes it easier for him to, like, get the best treatment, make decisions, whatnot. But people like us, like, or people that don't even have what we have, they don't even have those type of options, you know. So it's
that's
just
really
a,
true. So we do a lot of stuff, you know, in that regard.
Did I tell you they had, you know, that I've just been hearing all these different scares people have been telling me about. But, you know, I'm just hoping that people stay safe and, you know, take it serious, you know, and I'm hoping I don't catch you. That's all I hope for.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. We greatly appreciate you guys for listening to What's the Deal Cuz podcast.
I'm Dre Chili.
And I'm AZ Shan.
Make sure you guys subscribe to all of our platforms that we're located on, and please support. And we look forward to uploading more material.
Thank you.